Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Bros Pod. We have a special episode today. We took a break from sports in this Thanksgiving week to talk to one of our original friends of the program and go back to one of our original stomping grounds, the restaurant Chocolat. And we talked to Leon Ellis, the owner of Chocolat, and just tried to catch up with him and find out how he's doing, how he weathered this pandemic storm, and we know it's still continuing. So we wanted to get his thoughts and touch base, like I said, with an original friend of the program. So that's coming up next. But of course, we have a word from our sponsor. Bros Pod is, of course, brought to you by Bet Online. It's Thanksgiving week, and we all know what that means, football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all sports action this Thanksgiving week and beyond. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code BELEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your bonus. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to us yet another edition of Bill Roden on Sports, Bros Pod. This is somewhat of a historic podcast in that we're live. You know, pre-pandemic, we used to always go on location, but because of the pandemic, we kind of shut everything down. And it's appropriate that when we reopen, we're here in Harlem at the world-famous Chocolat restaurant. We've done a lot of podcasts from Chocolat, and a little later on, we're going to be visiting with the owner of Chocolat restaurant, Leon Ellis. Leon, you can say hey.
Hello.
He's modest.
Welcome to Chocolat.
Yeah, it's great being here, man. It's really nice being here.
Awesome to be here.
Yeah, really nice being here on a Tuesday.
Just like old times.
Just like old times.
Yeah.
The new normal.
The new normal, that's right. Yeah.
And I'm also here with some very special guests. Of course, here is my co-host, the great Jamal Murphy, sitting right next to me. Murph.
How you doing, Bill? Great to be doing this again from, you know, from a real venue. Inside a restaurant, I can count on my hand the number of times been in and dined in a restaurant, you know, since the pandemic. So this this is a big deal. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to be back here up in Harlem.
Yeah, this is truly great, and we've got a very unique cast of characters. Of course, we've got Jamal's oldest son, Kareem Murphy, who has graced us with his presence. Kareem, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, and hello.
Hey, well, thank you for joining us, Kareem.
You're welcome.
Yep, and then here with yet another historic moment, a great friend of mine. We've been friends actually since Harlan High School in Chicago, if you can believe that. Like I think I met Mark Washington in 1963. He was a junior in Harlan High School in Chicago. I was a mere freshman. And I can remember as if it was yesterday. I was standing in line, you know, running pass patterns, and the guy in back of me, Mark was in front of me, then there was a guy in back of me. And Eddie Parch, who was a quarterback, said, okay, we're going to run sidelines. And the guy behind me said, how do you run a sideline? And I said, I guess you do anything. And Mark looked back at me and said, is that what you do, anything? And that set the tone of the of our relationship. But Mark was the tone. Anyway, but Mark is here with his beautiful wife, Linda Washington. They're here in New York. Their grandchildren are here participating in the Macy's Day Parade. Anyways, I want to welcome Mark Washington. Mark, welcome.
Thank you, Bill. I didn't say that, did I?
You said that. Did it really? Look back.
Well, that was many years ago, and I'm trying to follow your footsteps now. But thank you. I'm enjoying it here. Just like Stevie Wonder said, it's like New York, just like I pictured it. Having a great time so far. You know, enjoying the. Big Apple, and especially delighted to be here in Harlem, you know, because, again, this is the historic place that we've all, you know, heard about and seen on television and visited when we could, you know what I mean? So this is a great opportunity. And we had some fantastic food, by the way, at the restaurant here.
Glad to hear it.
Serious. It's dynamite.
Thank you.
It was great. So a couple of things, Leon. I think one of the last podcasts we did was here. And yes. Then COVID came and stopped everything. So I guess the obvious question, man, how have you been making out during COVID? What have these 18 months been like?
And it's been interesting, challenging, and giving us opportunities to be more creative. Because when this thing first started, no one knew what to expect. It just sort of came with its own energy or lack thereof, and we had to adjust very quickly. So we did. We downsized. We pretty much let everyone go for a short period of time and start bringing people back as it progressed and things began to change. But it looked real bleak for a moment because it was just everything was unexpected. And so we followed the guidelines of the city and the state as natural we had to. And then within our own selves, we just dug in. And say, you know, we're going to do whatever it takes to get through this process, not knowing that it's going to be 2 years later.
Mm. Wow!
You know, that it would even take this long because no one really understood what was happening at that moment. And as things went along, we got more acclimated with the challenges, right? So we adjusted, and we continue to do that actually because. We thought COVID was going away, and then it reared its ugly head again. And then we have this in New York City. We have a mandate that we have to comply with that. So that was another, you know, the day before the mandate started, we were active, doing good business. And the day it was enacted, we were just empty all day. And so we've been going up and down, you know, through that. And we're just riding the waves and staying above water and finding ways to be creative. And coming out of COVID, you know, we feel like we're stronger definitely operationally, mentally, because we've sort of learned to deal with unexpected challenges.
What was the most innovative thing you had to do? You mentioned challenges a couple of times. What was the most innovative thing that you've had to do?
So our concept is the dine-in concept, and we had to adjust to taking out and delivering. So we had to totally readjust what we did. We had a full staff, and we had to adjust to working with limited staff. Of course, lots of people did not want to come back to work, but the ones that did, we were happy to have them, and we got more understanding of the kind of marketing that it would take for a business to succeed. you know, when you pre-COVID, when things are going along in any 24-hour period, you're fully involved. And sometimes you can't even see the forest for the trees, right? And you need a moment to come up and breathe. Well, COVID actually, in a very profound way, gave us a moment to breathe, right? Even though that's not the choice we want to make, right? So we adjusted, and we realized that in order for us to succeed at the highest level, that we had to reinvent the way we operate and the way we get people to learn about who we are and what we are. But throughout all that, we've been extraordinarily fortunate that, you know, the product has been consistent. And that is the cornerstone of what we do, is to be consistently consistent.
Just so people know, we're here at Chocolat Restaurant. You're here on Frederick Douglass and was
120th Street.
120th Street in Harlem. And like I said, you know, what you said you had to be inventive. What about the outdoor dining? One of the things I've noticed, which I kind of like, because, you know, during the heart of COVID, and maybe we're still in the heart of COVID, you know, we keep thinking like it's over. And, you know, and I'm still talking. But one of the things I like, particularly in New York, is the outside dining. People are building little tents and huts and things like that. Is outdoor dining something that you embraced, and is it was it like a life raft? Is it something you want to continue doing?
It was a life raft and still is. The city was creative in that, and the Frederick Douglass Boulevard Association, the Alliance, allowed us to do open streets where we're able to utilize the sidewalk, and on the weekends we can seat people that is true but closed off. That was a boon for us because we couldn't seat people inside the restaurant. So, and people went along with it, and people were happy to be out. And so it revolutionized us from where we were, and it brought us, it actually was a life raft, as you described, because it allowed us to stay afloat during that period and allowed us to serve. Of course, limited operationally, but it was a major thing for us. And sidewalk dining continues to be a major thing, even in the winter. Some people want to sit outside when it's cold. And so we welcome that and we encourage it. And next year in the spring, we look forward to even expanding that.
All right. I know, are you gonna build anything? I know a lot of people have gotten very creative with the building. You know, building like little, I don't know what you call them, little hutches or many types of things. Are you guys going to do that?
Okay, so we are fortunate that we have a large space on the sidewalk for seating. Some restaurants have limited seating, and they have to use the street right next to the sidewalk. So what we did was we installed new awnings that went out further, that go out further in the street, so we can have more seating. So it allowed us to expand without having to build those structures. A lot of restaurants build them because they needed to. And there was a point when we had those those tents. We had maybe 6 or 7 tents on both sides during the winter. And we had to put in heating so people can sit and be by themselves instead of being inside. So the city was very creative and allowing us to find different ways to get people to continue to having a dining experience, which we're finding out is an integral part of life in New York City and all major cities.
All right. How far are you back in terms of, well, one of the things I want to ask you is what are some of the COVID protocols? You know, we're doing things now that we never thought of doing. Mm-hmm. When you come to the restaurant, you got to show your COVID card,
which you've
never done before. Mm-hmm. How far back are you in terms of indoor dining? I don't know where you were pre-COVID, but where are you now?
Well, now there are no limitations on indoor dining so long as people are vaccinated. So that immediately eliminates the percentage of people who aren't. So when once a person comes in, we check to make sure that they are vaccinated and they have official identification to prove that. And right now, that's the only thing that we... And, oh, yeah, we wear masks. The staff has to wear masks. And but when before we got to this point, it was a lot more restrictive. Diners had to sit 6 feet apart. They had to wear masks while they're not dining. When they get up to go to the bathroom, they had to wear masks. We had to have sanitizers all over the restaurant. We still do. And we had to have a distancing, you know, putting placements on the floor, telling people the distance that they had to maintain. And so I'm sure there are some things that I'm not remembering now. We had to really limit people. Sometimes people had to wait outside until people were standing in here in the foyer leave because we couldn't have people too close together. Mm-hmm. Now the main thing is for people to be vaccinated. And so that now is a major criteria along with the staff wearing masks and, of course, always having sanitizing stations.
All right. First, Kareem is sitting over there patiently. What did you have to eat today, Kareem? And could you tell us whether you liked it or not? What did you have to eat today at the restaurant?
When?
Tonight.
Oh. I had a burger with some fries. But it was very good. Everything here is... I mean, I really like this restaurant. It's a very good restaurant. I saw the outside looks very... cool, and I really like this restaurant. It's a very good restaurant.
Thank you
did a very good job.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
So how would you describe the industry as a whole, the restaurant industry? I mean, I was talking to Bill earlier today, and there are so many restaurants that have shut down, like some of my favorite restaurants in Brooklyn or wherever, and places I never thought would shut down, even through this, and that's happened. So how do you see the industry as a whole, and how were you able to withstand it?
Well, the industry, the hospitality industry, has been hit in a way that has never occurred before, not just restaurants, but hotels and other places like that, event halls where people are not able to get together like they normally would. I know we lost... the industry has lost a tremendous number of places. I don't know why specifically, but in general, getting people to work is one. Not being in a place where people can come out to dine with all the restrictions involved. Having to stay closed for a year and a half is a tremendous... That's like 10 and a half years for an establishment to maintain itself during that period. It's a real challenge. And so we're just extraordinarily blessed, and we're extraordinarily grateful that we're able to navigate the process. Very early on, we got together with a team, and we sort of created a strategy as to how we're going to move through this process. Taking into consideration, we didn't know what the process was going to be, right? We didn't know what today was going to look like a year and a half ago. And so it was a great unknown. But I learned that during that time, we did a tremendous amount of creative marketing. So we stayed on our guests' mind. We stayed in front of them, right? We did a lot of community-related things. We did a lot of work with organizations. We fed the homeless. We fed the food challenged. We went all over the city feeding people in different places. We had food giveaways here. I think it was on every Wednesday for people to come. And we tried to find partners to work with us to make that happen. When we do that, it means that we stay relevant. And so by staying relevant, when things open back up, I think that I don't want to say it was a soft landing, because it certainly wasn't, and it certainly isn't even at this moment. But people, we stayed in front of people on a consistent basis. We didn't disappear for an extended period of time. We still marketed, especially through social media, on the radio every opportunity we got. Being able to do things to support the community that supports us, because we're ingrained in Harlem. We've been here for an extended period of time, and we believe in the Harlem community. It's a strong community economically and culturally, so we want to be a part of that, you know. So working through this process for us, we were able to make it happen because the community continues to support us. And first opportunity that people got to dine out, they came to us, right? And so when they came to us, we did our best to deliver the best product with the best service. And we're continually evolving, because we really don't know. At this time, we really still don't know. But we're, you know, I believe we're innovative, and we try to be creative, and we believe. Belief is the key component in the process. We believe. And so because we believe in ourselves, we believe in our community, we believe in God, we believe that, you know, when you do good things, it creates a path through which, you know, you can make progress.
Leon, my husband Mark and I had the opportunity to dine here this evening, as you know.
Thank you.
And I want to congratulate you, on the family atmosphere and the friendly atmosphere and the quality of the food. Mm-hmm. Now, I will tell you that the biscuits were incredible.
biscuits were great.
Coming from you, I received that. Yes,
well,
yes.
You know, we are from the Washington, D.C. area. Mm-hmm. We live in Virginia, and so I would encourage all of our friends, whenever they visit New York, to come to Chocolat.
Absolutely.
But I am curious, why the name Chocolat?
It's really simple. I love chocolate.
I do too, Leon. We're kindred spirits.
With kindred, and not just that, but what it works in two ways. As much as I love chocolate, it's the hue of the color that represents us. Mm-hmm. And so I felt that subliminally, I would be able to use that as a good reason. And at some point, someone would begin to understand and put both things together.
Yes. Well, that certainly came across in your restaurant. Mm-hmm. And you, obviously, and also everyone who works here. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, the food was excellent. Mm-hmm. I had the lobster mac and cheese. And the variety that you offer is incredible. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Be back.
She's going to be on a marketing team. I'm telling you, this is amazing. I'm ecstatic. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Now, Leon, I had one additional question, too. You also have carry out also?
Yes, we do.
Because
we
one
do.
Of the things that my wife and I, when the COVID was like it was, we didn't go to restaurants at all. But what we did was we ordered, you know, carry out, particularly from restaurants that we know and enjoy.
Right, of course.
So a restaurant like this, for example, would be one of our favorites. And so in light of, you know, not being able to come in, we would definitely, you know, come in and get carry out.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I'm glad you raised that point, because there was a point where that's all we did. And we had never focused on it like that before, because that's not what we do.
Sure.
But we had to adjust. And now we continue to do lots of takeout. We continue to, because I had this experience once, and I got to share this with your audience, right? A friend of mine came into the city and decided not to go out and eat. So I came here and we met at this particular place, and I came into the restaurant and I got a little bit of everything. I got some fried chicken, I got some mac and cheese, I got some short ribs of beef, I got some ribs, and we all got together and we were eating out of maybe 10 different takeout containers, right? it's the best food I ever had. I couldn't believe it. I said, this cannot be our food. It's so good, because I never had that experience. But what I learned is that when someone comes into the restaurant and they order their food, the food is fixed when they're having it. In other words, the fried chicken he had was just fried, right? So it's fresh and it's coming out. What I discovered is that if you cover it and you take it home and you not eat it for an hour and a half, it tastes 10 times better. I was in shock. So I can certainly appreciate when someone tells us how good the food is when they take it out. And once we started doing that takeout, the business grew. The business grew. I did not know that. That was a learning experience for me.
What about?
And we love to open a restaurant in Washington D.C.
All right, Linda was setting the table, and she'll be your marketer.
Of course, without question. Listen, she has clarity. There's nothing else to be said. Yeah.
Right. What about the competition now that? You know, this thing seems to have, the pandemic, at some point, all the restaurant people, the association had to bind together and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're at this point, is the competition as fierce as ever? Has it changed anything in terms of restaurants working together? Or are you back to kind of, dog eat dog?
Well, you know, Bill, you and Jamal, you got your family. You've been here with us through all this process. You're pre-pandemic, and you know that we're firmly embedded in what we do. As you know, when we opened this place,
what year was that?
2010. There were no other. There is nothing like this here. This place didn't look anything like this. It looked like it was in the 60s, burnt out, and I'm not exaggerating. Lots and people not wanting to walk on the avenue. And when we came and we opened up, it changed the dynamic. And what that did was it made it more attractive to the New York Times, for example, did lots of articles and all the changes happening in Harlem. But I got the feeling that a lot of times they wrote those articles from a distance and not coming into on the ground and having a clear understanding of the dynamic of the community. What that did, those articles from the New York Times and the and other news organizations, that it began to attract other restaurateurs, other business people to come in and to open restaurants. The thing is, a lot of those restaurants were not embedded in the community. I don't want to use the word carpetbaggers, but people just seem to just come in because it's a new environment and it's an opportunity for them to come in and grab from the work that we did 25 years leading up to where we are right now. So what was helpful to us is people knowing us, and the community knows me and know that I'm fully committed to the community. And I believe that that was a major help for us, and I believe it continues to be that.
Kareem, you have a question?
Was it hard when, like, the pandemic started coming in? And, like, how did you feel when, like, you had to, like, change everything? You had to change, like, how did you feel when the pandemic started coming in? Like, how did you feel?
So, here's the thing. I pray a lot. I literally do every day, many times during the course of the day. And when this new thing came that we didn't understand, I prayed even more. Just for clarity and understanding of how and what it's going to take for us to navigate this process, because we really didn't know, right? So it was a challenge. I can say that I'm fortunate in life to have experienced lots of challenges. When I'm going through those challenges, though, I don't think I'm so fortunate, because the challenge is, it can be defeating, but it can also give you an opportunity to dig deep within yourself and find that self within you that can overcome that challenge. And I always believe that, to a great extent, challenges are placed in front of us to give us the opportunity to overcome them and to grow from them. So the next time something comes up, we are more armored mentally and sometimes physically to take them on, right? So no, I wasn't happy about it, but we had to, one of the first things we did is that we sat down and we talked through it. Like, what is it that we need to do to stay relevant, to stay in business? And we hung on to every bit of news that we got because, like everyone else, we didn't know what was going on. And fortunately for us, we're just so very fortunate that we're able to work through the process.
And I have another question for you. Was this, like, when you first started making this place, like when it first came, was it in Harlem still?
Chocolat was the first location. Actually, that's an excellent question. This is not the first location of Chocolat. We opened Chocolat on 5th Avenue, 111th Street. And we operated for a year, during which time we were building this place. But once we came here, it was the first place of this type here.
Okay.
That was Kareem Murphy, man. Very
I like it.
Very
I like,
impressive.
I'm impressed.
Kareem, man.
Absolutely.
Very impressive. Great questions.
Yeah.
Very clear.
Yeah.
Wow. I think, how would you like to be the co-host?
Give some credit to his dad.
I know.
Great
I know.
Work. Yeah. I like
I know.
That.
Great job,
I like
man.
That.
Great job
yeah.
too, Murph.
I like
you
that.
We got a buddy, like buddy like, journalist here.
I like that.
Right. I guess so. You know, our guest has been we your guest, Leon Ellis. The entrepreneur, owner of Chocolat Restaurant. I didn't know that. You know, that was a great question. I didn't know that this was not his first restaurant.
No.
Very right. good.
Yeah, that was an excellent question.
Excellent question. Yeah. So just kind of take us home, Leon. You talked about faith and that type of thing. And I'm just wondering, are you, you know, you've been through a lot just to build something like this. You know, we've talked a lot. I was telling Mark and Linda, I've had like book parties here
over the years. Yeah,
over the years, Leaving the Times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I came here and had the party mm-hmm. here.
You've been like an amazing supporter, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for that, because with your breadth of influence, you can go anywhere and down at any place, and you choose to do lots of your events here, family events. So. Yeah, I'm grateful to you for that.
Yeah, you've been very supportive too.
Yeah,
from
of course.
Being at the Times, being here,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, we have a proposition for you. after we finish, as you put this on the record, but just I'm just curious. You know, you just told Kareem a great story about overcoming. You know, Kareem is a baseball player, and sometimes you struck out, right, or you may have dropped the ball. But I guess what he's talking about is you didn't just quit, right? You know, you next time up, you know, you had a certain mentality that you were not deterred. And I guess that's what life is about, is not stopping when you strike out, when you drop the ball. It's just to keep going. So how has this changed you? I know that you are a very confident person, but this has been an experience, like you said, like no other. So how has this changed you, I guess, for the better?
Radically, because I'm more internal, but I'm also more external, you know, or I could say introvert or an extrovert. Now I'm focused a lot on being an entrepreneur is a series of hills and valleys. And if you average all that out, it may average to a straight line, or you want to elevate. And what I dug deep into is finding myself. So I always believed in taking care of myself nutritionally, and I always exercised, because, you know, my background is in nutrition, so I have a good understanding of what it takes to, of the things that I should do to maintain a strong sense of well-being. I believe in well-being. And well-being, for me, I learned more, I explored more internally. Mm. So I developed a morning routine where I get up early in the morning, and there's certain things I would do within a certain period of time, and I'm very consistent with it, all well-being stuff. I got more into meditation, and I meditate consistently, even when I'm in my office, because meditation doesn't have to be a long exercise. It could be long, it could be short. I spend a lot of time informing myself by listening to like-minded people about things that they have gone through in their lives, how to make my life better, how to eat differently, how to take care of myself internally. I also have gone through a long process of breath work, learning how to breathe. I completely relearned how to breathe and to be conscious of the effect that it has on me, on my well-being. So COVID has transformed me from someone who would be stressed out, even though I knew all these things at that time, but I'd be stressed out getting things done, and I've learned how to manage my weight, manage my mind, and I'm deep internally in doing simple things to eliminate and manage stress, to be able to take care of myself, because I have learned that there's not much you can do if you're not taking care of yourself, right? So, and I'm so glad you asked that question. I don't want to get too deep into it, but I've rekindled a different me within myself, where there's, I look at things completely differently than I did pre-COVID and internally. And I was always a compassionate person. I was always somebody I believed that that you should share, and we're all human beings, and we can only be strong together and not by ourselves. But it's even more so now. I'm more giving now. If someone comes in and I'm able to help them, I run towards it. I don't know why. I don't have any crystal ball to know why. But I realized that by being generous with myself and the desire to make other people's lives better, I make my life better, right? I'm in a better place mentally, or without question. Because before pre-COVID, I was stressed all the time because what it took to operate the business and with the financial and operational challenges that we faced. As a black entrepreneur, we live in a different world than entrepreneurs of other ethnic hues, right? So it was challenging. Now I believe I'm in a better position to deal with it mentally. And that's a key component, is to be mentally tough. I've learned how to be mentally astute. And it's always a learning process now because, it doesn't mean because you handle this today, if something comes up tomorrow, it may require a completely different mindset, right? But this period of time has given me the flexibility that I believe that if it comes in front of me and if it comes to me, I can handle it by the grace of God.
Wow, that was great. Yeah. Well, listen, man, I'm so happy that there's always been a great port in the storm for me, always to know that you're here during the pandemic, which we're still in, by the way. I just want to let people know when I say during the pandemic, we're still in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have kind of like...
Think it's over. And it's not.
You know. Mm-hmm. But having said that, it was always comforting to come here. Mm-hmm. I took out some stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it was always great just to pass by here.
Of course.
See,
of
you
course.
Were there. Mm-hmm. And... you know, this is a,
and no matter where I am and you call, I pick up the phone. And it doesn't matter what it is I'm doing. When you call me, it's always pleasant to hear from me. Yeah. It is always something I look forward to.
And the key thing about you, Leon, is that you always have the right sports on TV. Yeah. See, there, I've been to, you go to a lot of places, man, And it'd be like, you know, the critical football game, and they got like tennis, or you go somewhere and they got like soccer, which not meaning to offend anybody,
right.
I'm just letting you know, but you always have the right games on TV.
Absolutely.
Hey, but listen, Leon, this is great. I know this is going to be the first of many. Glad that we could begin our live broadcast again from here. I could think of no better place to do that with you, do it with really old friends, you know, Mark and Linda Washington. We may hear from them later on. I don't know if we're going to wrap it up. But, you know, it's really thing when you think about it. You know, when I first met Mark, I'm like 14 years old. You know, I met Linda, I was a freshman at college. You know, I was I was like 17 years old.
That's amazing.
And I remember this day.
That's amazing.
I was taking physical science.
That's
and
amazing.
Linda gave me her physical science book. Unfortunately, she did not give me the answers.
But you know, that's a testament of who you are and who you surround yourself with. Well, I think that's amazing.
I think it was she gave it to because of Mark. Probably. She said, this guy needs help.
But the length of the relationship is not often that people maintain that camaraderie and friendship over such an extended period of time.
Right. And the fact that they got married shortly after that, right? I think in college, after college?
When you graduated.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, you didn't get married in college. Right. But I mean, it's just such an incredible. So how many years have you guys been married?
Supposed to answer that?
51 years. So that's another podcast.
We dated 4 years in college, so that's really more than
that's 55.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really. But I need you to talk to my daughter and her husband who just got married.
She just got married. I saw
yeah,
that.
Just
yeah.
got married.
Yeah.
One day at a time. I think it's a wonderful opportunity with Leon here, because we always talk about young folks. So, Leon, you are really a role model for how young folks can achieve so much. There's so much going on now, but you have had some challenges, I know. So what advice would you give to young folks who are just starting out, who may be struggling with certain things? What advice would you give them?
I would say stay true to who you are as a person and be consistent. One of the most important things towards success is consistency. Mm-hmm. If you know you're supposed to do something, do it. If you're unable to do it, for whatever the reason is, own up to the fact that you didn't do it. You know, be true to who you are and to have discipline. Discipline is crucial. Discipline is, you know, I have to do this time on this day at this time, and I'm going to be there. Not because, oh, I forgot about it. Oh, I didn't get a chance. No. Okay, so you're not going to be there. You call that person and let them know, listen, something has come up. Let's revisit this. But ownership of self, as we discussed earlier, right? Own who you are. That's a profound statement coming from your son. But it's actually true. I think that's the key.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Our daughter was a gymnast, and she was very disciplined. And I say this to Kareem as well, who's also an athlete. And being in athletics really teaches you discipline.
Without question.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that that's very, very important. So I love that discipline. I also like the spiritual aspect of it. So I'm glad that you're really grounded in your love for God.
Can't live without it.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And so I am just so pleased that we're here and able to share this conversation with you.
Thank you.
I encourage all of our friends who visit New York, come to Chocolat.
Thank you. Your husband is a lucky man. But I don't have to tell him that. 55 years, you know.
I'll give you your money later.
Hey, that's great. Hey, everybody, listen, to Leon, to Linda, Mark, of course, Kareem,
of course,
co-host. Tell everybody, you're supposed to tell everybody where to listen to this podcast.
Yes, of course. Thanks, as always, thanks to all the listeners for listening. You can listen to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, etc. Follow us on Instagram at BrosPod. Follow us on Twitter at BrosPod. And we're on Facebook at Bill Roden on Sports. And let me let Leon tell us where you can interact with Chocolat or find them on social media.
Chocolat Restaurant and Bar. We're located 2223 Frederick Douglass Boulevard in Harlem at the corner of 120th Street.
And are you on social media at all?
Yes. Everything is at Chocolat Harlem. And our website is chocolateharlem.com.
All right.
All right, everybody. And get the biscuits. If you don't get anything else, get the biscuits and the cornbread. Unbelievable. And everybody, just be safe. Keep listening. Pray. Remember this. We're still in the middle of this stuff.
That's right.
So don't take any chances. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.